Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is a great joy to be with you again. So if you can open then from your Bibles, from the Gospel according to Luke, it will be Luke chapter 23 this morning. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 23. We will read together from verse 13 to verse 25. And the title of this message this morning, The Rejected Savior. The Rejected Savior. We're reading from verse 13 to verse 25. In your pew Bibles, it will be page 883. And then it reads as follows. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people. And he said to them, You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him. But they all cried out together, Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who has been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, Crucify, crucify him. A third time he said to them, Why? What evil has he done? I found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voice prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the men who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he bless it within our hearts. Let us bow in prayer. Our precious God, we thank you this morning for your wonderful word, for leading us to this passage that speaks of our salvation. It speaks of the substitutionary atonement, the substitutionary death, substitutionary redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ, Him taking our place that we may be free. Show to us again this morning through the preaching of your word. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see Him. May we come crawling to Him. May we bow to Him. May we worship him. We praise you, O God. Open our eyes and our minds as your word is preached. Give us concentration in this heat of the day. We ask all this in the name of your Son. I know, my friends, that we all do not appreciate it when a criminal goes free, unless that criminal is you or that criminal is your loved one. We also do not want to see an innocent man thrown into prison, an innocent man rotting in prison. But this morning we come to one of the most surprising moments in the history of the Jewish nation, in the history of the world. This morning we come across a strange custom which was developed during the time when Israel as a nation was still captive, was still bound, was still subject under Rome. Whenever the Jews celebrated their holiest of holidays, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Passover, when they were celebrating their deliverance from bondage, from the bondage of Egypt, in honor of the Jews then, the Roman government will release a prisoner for the people. He will release the prisoner in honor of their religion. So a prisoner will be released at the request of the people. Whomsoever they will be released to them, regardless of his crime. A prisoner was given up to the Jews, releasing him and setting him free. But this morning we come to this puzzling account whereby a criminal goes free and an innocent man is convicted. I think we need to put that in our mind as we go on with this study. A criminal is set free and an innocent man is convicted. And I want us to look at this under three headings this morning. Our aim as well is to see how the world treats criminals and how the world treats the Son of God. But at the same time, we want to see how God treats criminals and how God treated his Son while he was here on earth. We want to learn something about man's choices and God's way. And I want to encourage you to stand up when you feel like you want to sleep, then sit when you feel like you're okay. Because it is hot, I don't blame you. So I will not like to be discouraged seeing someone falling asleep. So if you feel like falling asleep, stand up, drink water, sit. Right. So we're going to look at this subject under three headings. Firstly, as we look at this rejected Savior. Firstly, I want you to notice from the passage that Jesus is rejected by religious leaders. Jesus is rejected by religious leaders. Verse 13 to 18, it reads as follows. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I do not find this man guilty of any of the charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by this man. I will therefore punish and release him." I want you to see two types of leaders where I've just read this morning. In just this small portion. Two types of leaders here. You have the religious leaders and then you have the political leaders. But the rejection that I want to talk to you about this morning is from the religious leaders. It is the religious man who drives the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ through, so that then the political leader accepts it as well. We're going to see it as we go through. So do not blame the government when the government rejects Christ. The government looks at how the religious people receive or reject Christ, and they act in accordance to what the people demand. Matthew makes it clear for us if you read Matthew chapter 27 verse 20. Matthew chapter 27 verse 20, it says, "Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus." It is the chief priest, the Pharisee, and the scribe that persuades the crowd so that then Barabbas is released and Jesus is destroyed. It is the religious leader who will have the Son of God to stand before this Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. It is the religious man who will have the Son of God to be despised by the world. To be crowned with a thorn, with thorns above his head. Pushed down to his head, sending streams of blood running down his face. It is the religious man who will have the Son of God to be beaten to a pulp by the scourging of these Roman leaders. I want you to notice, my friend, that the political leaders did not find anything wrong with Jesus. But it is the religious men who found something, claiming they found something wrong with Jesus. The very same people who should embrace Jesus are the very same people who are trying so hard to have the world to come against or to hate the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Herod find nothing or found Jesus not guilty. And for the second time, Jesus is brought to Pilate, and Pilate finds Jesus innocent as they bring Jesus to him. Actually, if you read through this chapter and other related verses of the Bible, you find out that Pilate actually tried to find a way of releasing Jesus, because Pilate believed that Jesus was innocent. So it is the religious man who is against Jesus. You might think, my friend, that it is not so around here where we live. It is not so here in South Africa. It is not so today. It was only in those days. But I want to argue and I want to tell you that it is exactly the same as it was before. It is the religious leader who has created a different Jesus and therefore gives the people a different Jesus rather than the Jesus of the scripture. Because of the religious leaders, the Jesus of scripture is rejected by the world. They have created a Jesus who is okay about sin. They have created a Jesus who is okay about homosexuality. A Jesus who's okay about abortion, about theft, about polygamy, about all kinds of wickedness. That the Jesus they're bringing through. And consequently, Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, is rejected. And for that reason, the political leaders follow this suggestion, this Jesus that is not Jesus of the scripture. And when you now claim to follow the true Jesus or speak of the true Jesus as we were doing at the conference, then people find it not easy, find it difficult to accept, because they have a Jesus that the world has created, a Jesus of their own imagination, not the Jesus that God has given to us through scripture. A Jesus who sees all religions equal. A Jesus who loves you so much. He loves you so much even in your sin, that he is so afraid to rebuke you because he's going to lose you. That is the Jesus they have created. Friends, it was the Jewish leaders, the religious men, who were determined to condemn Jesus. But we also should learn from the example or the mistake that Pilate did. He wanted to release Jesus without breaking his relationship with Rome. When you read the Bible, it tells you that Pontius Pilate tried to release Jesus, but he also didn't want to break his bridges. He broke the relationship with Rome. We need to learn from this mistake. It is a very strange thing trying to choose Jesus without letting go of the world. You cannot choose Jesus and accept to continue on the things of this world and its influence. It is impossible, my friend. You cannot have Jesus on one hand and sin on the other hand and continue well in this world. Many have done that. Many among us. And they've fallen into apostasy. And today they are suffering chastisement at the hand of a loving God. Another thing I want you to notice about the leaders is that they rejected Jesus knowing that he's the Son of God. The religious men knew that Jesus is the Son of God. They didn't have anything to bring against him, to prove against him. So they created stories because they knew he was innocent. Pilate says to them, "I've done a better job than Herod. I actually examined Jesus. I carefully reviewed the charges and find him not guilty of any of the charges we have laid against him." So they knew he was innocent. Pilate himself knew that Jesus was innocent. Actually, Pilate's wife had a dream and came to Pilate and said, "I had a dream last night. Have nothing to do with this man." Since there's a lot of men today, let me tell you this, man. God, if he has not, he will. But God has provided you a spouse. God has provided you a wife to be your helper. It will help sometimes to listen to your wife. But also be careful. There are a lot of Jezebels out there who will drive you away from the true God. But you need to know that God created a spouse to help you. To help you that you may not make silly judgments in life. That is why, women, you must only be what God created you to be. A helper. Nothing more. Stop giving men stress. Women are giving men stress. Talking too much. If it's too difficult for you to close your mouth, it is too hot, it is nice, it is fine. Spend that talking in prayer. It will help. I'm just saying. But the point I'm trying to bring to you, we need to complement each other the way God has created us. Here is Pilate running the show. Here is Pilate leading a nation, but he will not accept a advice from a woman whom God has created for him. Let's move over. But why is the religious men so against the Lord Jesus Christ? Firstly, they do not read their Bibles. They think they are doing the will of God, while actually they are against the will of God. If they have read their Bibles, they would have known that Jesus is the Son of God. If they have listened to what God was saying through his prophet, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," they would have known that this is the man. If they've read their scripture, they would have known that the Psalm, David, speaks of Jesus. But they don't read their Bibles. They don't read them carefully. But secondly, the religious leaders have a different purpose than Jesus. They have a different purpose than Jesus. They want a Jesus who listens to them. They want a Jesus who will be king when they want him to be king. They want a Jesus who will bless when they want him to bless. They want a Jesus who will speak when they want him to speak, and in the very way that they want him to speak. They want a Jesus who will fit in with their plans of the future. So in other words, Bazalwan, they have already decided the future. They religious men. They know what things should be. So Jesus must just come through and fit in to these plans that we already have. That's why they refused to follow him. But thirdly, they do not know God. I want to stress that point. They did not know God, and today they still do not know God, those who are against the Son of God, but claiming to be religious men. Listen to what John chapter 8 verse 19 says. Just as the last part of verse 19. It says, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father." Jesus is addressing the religious people and the crowd, saying to the religious people, "You do not know God. If you knew God, you will know that God has a Son. His name is Jesus, the Savior of the world. And you will receive him with open arms, and you'll worship him, you'll bow before him. But you do not know God." In other words, you do not have a relationship with God. The religious man does not have a relationship with God. And the bad part of it, Bazalwan, is that the world look at them and then make life-changing decision on basis of what the religious men are saying today. There is a group called the South African Council of Churches. Whatever their view is on God, that's what the government accepts. That's the point I'm trying to make. Before the government will reject Jesus, before the government will reject Christianity, the religious men reject Christianity first. And I want you to be aware of that, because I'm going to tell you something afterward what you should do. Fourthly, they are not willing to be like John the Baptist. They are not willing to be like John the Baptist, who said in John chapter 3 verse 30, "He must increase," Jesus must increase, "but I must decrease." People don't want to be humble. People don't want to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. People don't want to be under the rulership, the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. They want to be above the Lord Jesus Christ. But John the Baptist says, "I must decrease. He must increase." And in the context of our verse this morning, Pilate actually perceived that they were jealous. And indeed, my friend, they were jealous, because Jesus' teachings were true. Jesus' teachings were accurate. Jesus' life was spotless. Jesus' life was amazing. His words were true. They were jealous. They could not match up with him.
the religious men, not the government. So friends, do not be surprised why the world rejects Jesus. It is because the religious man has given the world a false Jesus. They don't tell the world that he is the Son of God. By him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. Visible things, invisible things, whether thrones or dominion, rulers and authority, all things were created through him and for him. You see that stone over there? That small stone was created through him and for him. It is not for you to pick it up and throw it at somebody during xenophobic attacks. It was created through him and for him. That's the Jesus we're talking about, who upholds the universe in the palm of his hand. That is the Jesus we worship in this church. The Jesus who speaks to us today through his word. The Jesus who is rejected by the world. Pilate in verse number 16 says, I will therefore punish him and release him. Just imagine Pilate flogging the Son of God. He will do anything it takes to please the religious man. That's what government does, Bazalwane. The rules that the government puts in this world, they're doing so much to please the religious people. And unfortunately for us, there are so many religions in the world, so they have to please everybody. But it's because the religious people reject the Lord Jesus Christ. So Pilate had Jesus flogged. Pilate had the Prince of Peace flogged for disturbing peace. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ charged for disturbing peace. The peacemaker himself. In many countries, the Christian faith suffers persecution just because the government is biased to the religious leaders. That is why we suffer persecution. So friends, listen to what I'm saying. We need as a people to grow up. We need to, as a people, to choose leaders who have reverence to the true God. Not just people who have reverence to God, people who have reverence to the true God. You must stop thinking that the religious man around here loves Jesus. They don't. They are only here for themselves. The Bible, they do read it. But they don't read it for the sake of the glory of God. They don't see Jesus as the Son of God. They don't see Jesus' purpose and plan in this world. They look for verses whereby they will see their purposes and plans in this world. That is why pastors like me and Bala up there and some others that I don't know perhaps are suffering for land in this place. Because the religious man does not have Christ in heart. They have the government in heart. And I'm not hiding that. I'm telling you the truth. It is because of the religious leaders that the politicians of this world then grant people their demands against the will of God. Why will the political leaders of this world say it is right to abort children, give homosexual people rights? Why? Because they're giving the people the desires of their hearts. That is what you see here in verse number 24. It says, so Pilate decided that their demands be granted. The religious people's demands must be granted. The government acts according to what religious leaders are acting. So if we have to be religious leaders, we have to be religious leaders who have their eyes unto God and their ears unto the word of God as well. Friends, religious people don't want God to interfere with the good time they are having here on the earth. In their ignorance, they hide the warning of scripture that people are under God's judgment. In Adam, we all fail. They will not say that. Unless we come to Jesus, unless we come to him in faith and repentance, they will not say those things. That unless we do all those things, then we will suffer the wrath of God and spend our eternity in hell. they will not say it. So be careful, my friends, of the religious leaders you follow. Be careful whom you follow. They are only concerned about self-authority. They are only concerned about violating the law of God, making sure that the law does not exist, then becoming law in the place of law. That is what we see in this text. Even though then the law of God is still striking them and shining bright in their hearts, condemning them of their sin, they continue in sin. But secondly, not only is Jesus rejected by religious leaders, but Jesus' friends is rejected by society. And we are part of society, so it will be great that we listen carefully. Jesus is also rejected by society. Verse 13, Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the what? And the people. So the people were there. Verse number 18. But they all cried out together. That is the religious men and the people together crying out, away with this man, release to us Barabbas. The leaders and the people came together and raised up against the Son of God. They came together against the darling of heaven. And Matthew then gives us an insight as he records in Matthew 27, verse 25. Listen to what Matthew says. He says, all the people answered together, his blood be on us and our children. That's the society. His blood. So in other words, let him die. We take full responsibility of his death. If death is a curse, let that curse go through us and then flow through the whole generation. As long as Jesus Christ is out of the way, it is fine. My children can spend their life in hell as long as they didn't hear the name of Jesus. That's the attitude. Remove Jesus. So in other words, friends, people will sell their soul to the devil, as it were, just to have Jesus removed from society, to have Jesus removed from schools, to have Jesus removed anywhere. They will fight tooth and nail to have Jesus nailed on the cross. Check what is happening. The people chose a criminal. Remember what I was saying to you? Verse 18. They all cried out together, away with this man. Release to us who? Release to us Barabbas. The people choose a criminal. That is the will of men. Choosing abomination than righteousness. So don't be surprised, my friend, that they would rather choose criminals than Christians in this society. Don't be surprised, my friend, that they would rather have taverns and shebeens than churches, biblical churches like ours in this society. Do not be surprised, my friend, that at schools they would rather have evolution than true science. Do not be surprised that the churches would rather have entertainment than the true preaching of the word of God. Why? Because all have turned aside. Together have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is like an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of apes is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path are ruins and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before them. No fear of God before their eyes. That is why they would rather have Barabbas than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is society. Release to us Barabbas. I would rather have Barabbas, a criminal like me, than having Jesus, a righteous man. It is their will that Jesus must be removed from society. It is men's will today, out there, that Jesus may die and no more remembered. They want to crucify him. They want to crucify the one who came from heaven to save the lost, to seek that which was lost. And they will choose a criminal who will kill them and destroy them before sunset. They want him crucified regardless of the good deeds that he had done in their midst. And my friends, I want to tell you that we can continue as a people of God to do good deeds, but that will never change how people feel about the faith, how people feel about the fact that you say you are saved, you are dying and going to heaven. When they die, they go to hell. You can do as much good as you want. They will not accept that fact. People would rather see a criminal walking free in society. They would rather see a tavern in society than a biblical church. And in our context, they would rather have a Barabbas. The question is, who is Barabbas? Barabbas is everyone. If you look outside there, everyone you see, if you don't know his name is Barabbas. Even if you know his name is Barabbas. Your name is Barabbas. My name is Barabbas. I'm going to prove it to you. But they would rather have Barabbas. Barabbas is a nobody. There has been no prior mention in scripture of Barabbas. Barabbas is a criminal who has been thrown into prison. Barabbas is a murderer. He's a troublemaker. He's an enemy of righteousness. He's a notorious man. But people would rather have Barabbas than Jesus Christ, the righteous one of God. Friends, that shows how much people wanted to get rid of Jesus. They would rather have evil in the world than Jesus. They would rather have men who stand against peace than the peacemaker himself. How wonderful also of Barabbas, walking down the street, acting as if he's not accountable for his sin, acting as if he's not accountable for his crime, walking in society as though he has done good, but he has done nothing that is good in the sight of God. Be careful, Barabbas. The scripture speaks of Barabbas not as an ordinary prisoner. He's not just like any other prisoner, Barnabas. He had bad reputation. He had made insurrection. What does that mean? He had risen against civil and political authorities. This is a rival in this society, but they would rather have him. Just imagine, that is how much people hate Jesus. They would rather have this man, a rapist, they would rather have. A man who stands against the government. A man who is a rebel against all that the government stands for. He had a problem of submitting to authority. A troublemaker. A man who deserved to be in prison. And there was evidence that he deserved to be in prison. But Jesus, where there was no evidence, they would rather have Barabbas. His sins, in other words, could not be hidden from high authority. Everybody knew who Barabbas was. Everybody knew the crimes and the sins of Barabbas. His face was written on the walls, wanted. If it was today, the FBIs of the United States of America will be hunting him down. The United States SEAL team, the Navy SEALs, according to the world, the best SEAL team there is. I don't know if that's true. But those people will be breathing on his doorsteps. That's the kind of an evil man. That's the kind of a criminal this man was. The most wanted, notorious man there is. But that is what society wants. That is what society would rather have instead of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. They would rather have Jesus crucified and a criminal released. People don't mind following Barabbas. People don't mind being led by criminals and hypocrites. As long as Jesus is not on the driving seat, be careful, Barabbas. It's like you can see him walking down the streets with a smile on his face, living his life, living in the same rebellion, the same way he was before, acting as if he has accomplished something in this world, driving his beautiful car, walking down the street. Everybody knows the car is stolen, forgetting that the wages of sin is death, and death is crouching at his door. Be careful, Barabbas. So be not surprised, my friend. Let me give you one more thing about Barabbas. Barabbas had a crowd. Barabbas had a crowd. Just like in the township, those who are the enemies of the truth, the haters of righteousness, have a crowd. So don't be fooled by crowds. The fact that there is few of us, there is many out there, do not be fooled by that. People will rather follow a Barabbas a man like them. But the Bible makes it clear, my friends, why will people follow Barabbas? It is because they love their sin. It is because people love darkness rather than light. They fear that their deeds will be exposed if they will come to light. Verse 23 says, but they were urgently demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voice prevailed. That is the will of depraved men. Their voice must be heard. Their voice must prevail. That is the will of dead people, dead in sin. All men, sinners, dead in their sin. They will that there must be a Barabbas that they follow. Verse 25 tells us that Pilate then delivered Jesus to their will. The question I want to bring to you, my friend, church, are we not having a world full of Barabbases? Are we not having people of the same attitude? People who want Barabbas free simply because they are like him. They are all Barabbases. They are all murderers. They are all haters of God. They are all violent men. They are all rapists. They are all troublemakers. They are all enemies of righteousness. They are all criminals. They are all prostitutes. Will they not then want a Barabbas? Are we not surrounded by a world of people who would rather have a sinner leading them than a righteous man? Let me give you an example. Not long ago, a pastor was found sleeping with another girl who was not his wife. He was exposed on national TV on the papers, but when he returned to his church, he was welcomed like a prince. He was welcomed like Jesus, as though he has done nothing. The people would rather have a sinner like them because he will not tell them that they are sinners. That's the world we live in. They would rather have a Barabbas. So the question, my friend, is it going to be Jesus or is it going to be Barabbas? Is it going to be Jesus or you running your life, making choices, looking at the crowd rather than making choices, gazing upon heaven? That stands for you to answer. Thirdly, Jesus is not only rejected by the leaders, not only rejected by society, Jesus is rejected by God. Jesus is rejected by God. And I want to say, praise the Lord for that. And I'm going to prove to you why. Jesus is rejected by God. We already said that people accepted Barabbas. But what I want you to know is that God also accepted Barabbas, my friend. Also, he accepted Barabbas, but for a different reason and a different purpose. The people did not love Barabbas, even though the people accepted Barabbas. They did not love him, but they would rather have Barabbas who's like them than having Jesus who's not like them. So they would rather have Barabbas as long as they get rid of Jesus. But God so loved Barabbas that he rejected and given over his son to the hands of sinners. That's the point. God so loved a Barabbas that he would rather reject his son, that he would rather give over his son to die for the sins of Barabbas, that Barabbas may not perish but have eternal life. So in this point, we see that God had a greater purpose in the rejection of his son. Listen to verse 25. It says, he, that is Pilate, he released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but delivered Jesus over to their will. Friends, God chose to release Barabbas. It was God who allowed the world to take Barabbas then. Because God wanted to show the world that in the rejection of his son, he can have glory in this world. He will let his son go up Calvary's mountain with a crown of thorns on his head and a heavy Roman cross on his shoulders. And there on that cross, he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God and my God, why are you rejecting me? Why are you forsaking me? The question is, my friend, why then? Truly, truly, why will God allow nails to be pinned and pinched
through the hands and the feet of his son? Why would God allow a spear to be pushed on the side of his son for a criminal? For a Barabbas? For you? The Bible says in verse 25, Pilate released Barabbas and then gave Jesus over to the people's will. We see here, that's the point of this message today. We see a great exchange. Friends, if you can forget anything I've said, if you want to, but don't forget this point. We see the greatest exchange ever happened in the history of mankind. A life for a life. An innocent man for a criminal. A righteous man for a wicked man. That is why the Bible says, while we're still weak, while we're still sinners, while we're still Barabbases, while we're still murderers, Christ died for the ungodly. God reconciled us through the death of his son. While we were still sinners, he didn't wait for us to be better, but while we were still sinking deep and sinking to rise no more, he sent his son into this world to die for a Barabbas. And I think that's the main point of the whole narrative this morning. The exchange of a righteous man for a sinful man. The greatest exchange between Jesus and Barabbas. We see God turning the evil that man had planned. He turns that evil to his good. They cried out, "Crucify, crucify him. Let him die the death of a criminal. Let him be scorned by the people passing by." And indeed, God allowed his son to be scorned by the people passing by. God allowed his son to be crucified. But little did they know that at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will turn things upside down and bring glory to himself. Because when they lifted up the Son of Man, he drew men to himself. As Moses lifted up a bronze snake in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. The tears of the Son of God there on that cross, they turned into the joy of the world. His blood, which came down from his side, turned into a fountain of life where we sinners will plunge in, as it were, and then we may be made complete. Jesus rejected by God for this purpose, that you and me may sit here and say, "Praise to God, hallelujah, amen." Friends, of all the doctrines of the Bible, none is as vital as the doctrine of substitution. What do we mean by that? The doctrine whereby one man takes a place of another. The doctrine whereby Jesus steps in and substitutes for Barabbas. We know this thing happens in soccer, right? Substitution. But there's a difference. In soccer, when there's substitution, the man you're substituting for this week might be playing next week. Might be playing. It doesn't mean we are taking his position forever. But this morning, I'm saying, when Jesus took your place, when Jesus substituted for you, it is not like in the soccer field. When he went in for you, you will never play anymore. He takes your place. He takes your position. He wears your number. You will never wear it again. In this story that we have, the innocent man dies. He dies for the one who is guilty. The one who is guilty walks free. What does that tell you of Barabbas? Is that Barabbas must not die for his sin, must not die for his crime anymore, because another has taken his place. Jesus' death then, my friend, or this substitutionary atonement, this replacing of another with another, it proves to us, it reveals to us the depth of God's love for sinners, whereby his electing love broke loose the chains of death for the many. Thanks the Lord for his electing love. Thanks God for his grace and mercy, that we may find ourselves even this morning praising him, acknowledging him, that he died for our sin. A Jew dying for a Swazi, a Jew dying for a Venda, for a Malawian, for a Nigerian, a Jew died. Friends, the greatest exchange. The people were happy
on the exchange where they see Jesus taken away and Barabbas is set free. You know why they are happy? They think they have overcome Jesus. They think they have victory over Jesus. But friends, the Bible tells us it was God who gave his son over to be a propitiation for our sins. In other words, it was God who gave his son over to be a wrath remover on our behalf, to stand under the wrath of God and receive everything that we deserved. It was God. It was God. It was God. The Bible says it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. He poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for transgressors. Don't we sense love here? Don't we sense grace? What we see, Bazalwane, here is that God's purpose is to save people. So every criminal out there, every criminal who will, let him come. Every child molester that is out there, let him come. Every sinner of every kind, let him come. Don't condemn yourself that you have mad at somebody before God will not accept you. Let him come. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. The question is, have you found yourself in Barabbas? Have you found yourself in Barabbas? A murderer, a man of bad reputation, a man who rises against politics, a rebel, a man who does not submit under authority, a sinner of all kinds. Have you found yourself chained to the misery of human despair? Enemies of God, enemies of God, who is the governor of the soul, without hope and without God in this world. Have you been released from that prison through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the place of Barabbas, taking a place of a rebel, taking a place of someone who deserved the wrath of God? Have you found yourself there? Have you found redemption in him, the forgiveness of sin through his sacrifice on the cross? Have you cried, Jesus, keep me near the cross, where there is a precious fountain which flows from Calvary's mountain? Be my glory forever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Have you cried? Friends, the point of this passage is very simple. Crime is committed. Justice must be served. Someone must be accountable for the crimes. The crimes that we have done against God, someone must be accountable. And Jesus took a place of Barabbas and made Barabbas lose, while the people think they are making Barabbas lose. The guilty went free, while the innocent was condemned, while the innocent was crucified. Jesus became a substitute for the man who deserved to die. Jesus was willing. He was willing to die for Barabbas, in the place of Barabbas, for all the Barabbases of this world, so that they may not perish but have eternal life. Friends, Jesus paid. He paid the price that we ought to pay. He paid the price that we may go free. He took our sins and he took our shame and reconciled us to God, the Holy God. A sinful man reconciled with the Holy God, brought together to live a life of righteousness in this world. Now we have salvation in him through the atoning death of the cross. He for me, he in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord for sending your son. Let's close in this way, Bazalwane. Let me remind you. The world hates Jesus. Society prefers criminals. But you must have a preeminent Jesus, a dominant Jesus in your life. You must love the Lord with all of your heart. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. You must receive, you must accept Jesus Christ. You must live the life of Jesus Christ. You must choose Jesus Christ. You must choose life. Don't choose the world. Don't choose the leaders of this world. Don't follow the society. They need help themselves. They are lost.
They need your guiding hand leading them to the cross. Are you the one who's going to lead them to the cross? Are you the one who's going to follow them and cry with them when in that place where there's grinding, a snatching of teeth? They want the Jesus with faults. That's the Jesus they want. The Jesus with faults. A Jesus with many promises but no delivery. A Jesus with many claims of power but no power at all. A Jesus of magic and scams but no miracles. A Jesus of chaos and disorder but no truth and no dignity. Is that the Jesus you're going to present out there? Church, we have found true Jesus. The Jesus who hanged on the cross and says, "Now be holy as I am, as I'm holy too." So do not be like Barabbas. What did Barabbas do? He was happy that they well chose him. He was happy that people loved him. He forgot to behold the man who carried the cross that he was supposed to carry. Behold the man on the cross. Behold the man who died for you. Behold the man who carried everything upon his shoulder that you may live. Christian friend, in this world of rejection, in this world of rejection of the Savior, do not reject the Savior. Do not desert the Savior. You might be treated bad in this world. You might be a laughing stock at work, at school, or in the township. Do not take your eyes away from Jesus. Do not take your eyes away from the cross. Carry your cross and follow Jesus. Deny yourself, follow Jesus. Why? He died for you. Why? So that you may be a free Barabbas. And that is what you are. Let us pray. Precious Lord, our God and our King, thank you again this morning for reminding us of your word. Thank you, Lord, that we know that at the rejection of Christ, you accepted us, Barabbases of this world, murderers, hypocrites, all kinds of sinners, prostitutes, that we may be one with you. Thank you, O Father. Even though the world may continue to reject him, even though religious men put each other on the thrones and reject Jesus, but we shall follow you, for we love you, O God. Help us to continue in your ways. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Bazalwane, I hope to see you again next week.